Hey, this is Danny O'Neill from the Danny Dave and Moore Show. Thank you for listening to the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I'd really appreciate it if you checked out Danny Dave and Moore every afternoon from 3 to 7. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
This is Bob Gross and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Welcome, everybody. It's Bob Gross and Tom. The show of record is underway, which means everything's going to be just fine. Just fine. Big show coming your way. Coming up today, Mike Blowers will make his debut, the Mike Blowers Show. He'll be with us every Wednesday with some baseball knowledge he's going to impart. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock for Mike Blowers. And then Armin Katayan, who I think a lot of people are aware of. He does a bunch of... I swear I've seen him like on Real Sports or some HBO shows. He's with CBS.
He's on Real Sports.
He's with 60 Minutes now. I believe he's been nominated for Emmys 11 times is what I read this morning.
So. Is that right? Has he won any or he's just been nominated?
I believe he's won a few.
Okay. Well, he's going to join us today at 1 o'clock. He's got a new book out on your favorite athlete, Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Big, thick book.
I actually am... I read a pretty big excerpt from it this morning. It looked pretty interesting for those who are into
I saw it at Costco. Things. I was close to buying it, and then you said, well, they might be sending us some advanced copies. And
no, we have not gotten those yet.
We're gonna have to get Armin on the case.
Yeah.
He's a guy with some juice in this whole situation, so he can get it figured out. But we'll talk to him coming up at 1 o'clock, obviously. It's perfect timing as the Masters coming your way. I'm sure the ratings will be through the roof for that. That should be good. But Mariners... are 3-1, boys and girls, the world champion Mariners. How about that? I'm just taking Bradley's line.
Beats a sharp stick in the eye.
Taking Bradley's line, I'm just going to start referring to him as the world champion Seattle Mariners.
When are we allowed to be excited?
Be excited after each and every game they win.
I thought we weren't allowed to be excited until 50 games in, Bob.
No, you're allowed to be a prisoner of the moment. You respond to what's in front of you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Can we do the same thing if they lose?
Yep. You can be mad that day and say, why did so-and-so do this? How did so-and-so not do that?
When they lose, bring the perspective in. Yeah. Say it's just one game. It's a whole long way to go. It's, you know, I like my football line to it that every 10 games is equal to one football game in baseball.
Yeah. That's true.
So right now, the Mariners are up 17-3 with a minute to go in the first half.
With a minute to go. A lot could still happen.
Sure.
It's looking pretty good. Well, so
not far. Even halftime yet.
It looks good. If they lose, there'll be a 17-10 lead at the half.
Right. So if they win, be happy. If they lose, rationalize.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the perfect way to go through a baseball season.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's all valid. Can you do? Yeah.
You're not talking yourself into anything that's not real. You're not really saying, "Hey, this is a World Series team. They're going based on the 3-1 start." You're just saying, "So far, I've really enjoyed watching this team, and they're playing well."
And once you're out of pennant contention, you can start talking about rebuilding for next year.
That's right.
And what parts they should sell.
We've certainly experienced enough at that not to have to tell people what to do.
Is there a sports market in the country that's more experienced than that than us?
No.
Cleveland?
No, I mean with baseball.
Oh.
Oh, with baseball? Well, no.
No, there can't be.
There's no...
Has any other team had this sort of stretch of futility?
Only Washington hasn't made the World Series.
But they've had great teams the whole decade.
That they have.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, to be honest, probably not. You know, what, 4 playoff appearances in a lot of years?
Right, you're talking about, I'm just talking about the last 15.
Well, there'd be none.
Right.
Yeah, they're
how many?
Zero.
They've got the record right now.
All right, well, so we can be happy then for now.
How can you not
be happy with what you saw from Marco Gonzalez
yesterday?
Good
start yesterday.
Going back out there for the seventh. I mean,
yeah.
I thought it was 5-6 innings and that's it. Give him the hook. Go to this great bullpen. He's right back out there.
That was great. I was everything you would want and maybe a little bit more from your fourth starter.
Yep.
Right?
He looks like he could be a lot more than just the guy you'll perceive as the fourth starter, too.
Could be, but, I mean, that's
a good lineup the Giants have.
What did I do yesterday, Graz? I told you how washed up McCutcheon and Longoria were.
Well, but then we looked them up and we realized that they weren't.
Well, they're not exact. What, that they weren't?
Yeah, they're both 31 off 28 homer seasons.
But Longoria
McCutcheon's
never
a five-time All-Star.
Longoria never really got better, though. He got arguably worse and then had a good year, I think, what, 2 years ago?
2 years ago, he had 36, and last year he had 28.
McCutcheon's on a downturn, though, from where he was. He was the MVP 1 year.
Right,
he's not putting
the MVP.
Up those kinds of MVP. Right, but I went so far as to say they were washed up. Nothing to worry about
a little
in this
too
Giants
far.
Lineup.
You went a little too far.
Longoria, boom.
The one mistake, Gonzalez, the one pitch he said he wasn't confident
in. Right, exactly.
He threw without confidence. Yeah, he hit it a long way.
Yeah, what's, I'm looking at McCutcheon, 28 home runs last year.
Yeah, he was
24 the year before, 23.
He's a good player.
Actually, that was he's coming off his best power year of his career last year.
Well, that's, we went to the stats and looked at it, and I said, actually, these guys still look pretty good.
Yeah, maybe.
Because these were the moves the Giants, we're talking about perceived, you know, how the Giants were perceived this year, and the Giants are perceived as a team kind of like the Mariners, the Twins, the Brewers, a team that's definitely not tanking. They may not be in the elite class, but, you know, they added two all-star caliber players in the middle of their lineup, batting them third and fifth. And Bumgarner obviously being out is hurting them, but he'll be back at some point in time. They're a quality team. This is a good win.
Well, and it's a road win, and it's a win, a win where you don't have the luxury of having a DH, and it's
a National League road win, an even tougher road win. You're right.
And you achieve the goal, right? It's only a two-game series, but your goal on a road trip is to go 500. That's your bottom line. You want to go 500 or better. You want to do better, obviously, but you look at it and go, okay, we go 500, you look at it and feel good about it. So you've already split the series. Now you got King Felix going. If the first outing is any indication, this is a great pitching matchup. Didn't Cueto have a no-hitter or a perfect game going through his first start?
I believe he did through five innings.
Five or six, yeah.
It's the first time these guys have opposed each other, too.
Yeah, so it's a great pitching matchup. This almost feels like a you know, you're in a good spot. You got the first one.
The World Series preview.
Starter.
The World Series preview.
It feels like a West Coast World Series game one or game two, maybe.
Sure.
All right. Yeah, why not?
Well, because, Bumgarner, if he's healthy, is going to start game one for them, presumably.
Yeah, but Cueto will start game two.
Yeah.
It'll be Paxton and Bumgarner in game one of the series.
Right, exactly. Well,
It'll be Cueto and Felix in game two of the series.
The Mariners aren't going to be able to set up their pitching the way they want because they're going to be playing in that crazy division or wild card playoff, which Felix will pitch in, or Paxton will.
Yeah, but then they'll have it squared. By the time they get to the series, though, it'll all be squared away.
The World Series,
their stunning four-game sweep of the Red Sox is going to propel their pitching staff straight, give them a week's rest. They'll be all squared away by the time that comes around, and then they knock off the Astros. By the way, have you noticed the Astros at all? I mean, the Astros have outscored their opponents by 20 runs already.
Well, they have a quality team, as you know.
They're 5-1, but they're plus 20.
I just kind of don't.
It's six games.
It hurts to look at them.
And Garrett Cole, their big offseason acquisition, went out there and mowed them down the other night.
Yeah, well, look at the other team in your division. It's plus 13, the Angels.
Yeah, with Ohtani hitting home runs.
3-for-4 yesterday with a 3-run bomb.
Man, there was nothing I was right about yesterday. I'm telling you, when that highlight came up last night on Twitter, somebody tweeted it out, and it was on pause. I was like, you know what? I don't even want to see what this looks like. And then, of course, it started playing automatically, and I was just as intrigued as everybody
else. You watched it. It's like, hey, man, that's quite a power swing he's got there.
Right. But yeah, it was, the way he golfed it out. I got up from the chair I was in. I went to the bathroom, sat down. I was like, you know, is there anything that I'm ever going to be right about? Like, if I tell Bob and Graz and our audience that I'm going to make a golf bet that Tiger Woods is going to win the Masters, it's a guarantee that he won't.
He'll miss the cut.
Yeah, don't do that to
him. He won't. I mean, I'll screw the odds up for everybody.
He'll miss the cut. He'll break his clubs. He throws a fit on the course.
Right.
He absolutely loses his
mind. In a way, I'm the best predictor there is.
Just go opposite.
Yeah.
Opposite of Tom. But it's six. For the Angels, it's six games in. He could very easily fall apart.
Right.
Thank you.
Anything is still possible.
Yeah, but you're not drawing hard and fast conclusions on anybody, any individual or any team at this point.
My start for Marco Gonzalez, though, is the biggest takeaway from yesterday.
It was great.
That we all know that if ultimately it's to be a year to remember, it's gonna hinge on the pitching staff. It's the hitting is gonna take care of itself.
You've gotten great pitching from everybody except for the one guy you thought was sort of the automatic in James Paxton. He's
right.
The only one that's had a bad start so far.
But it's just one start, so you know, hopefully he takes care of that in the balmy weather of Minnesota.
Oh,
good to have a Canadian pitch in there, I suppose.
By the way, snow in the forecast as of this morning.
Actually, it's for the evening, though.
Oh, okay.
So we should be all right tomorrow, but it's like, you know, see what the forecast is for tonight? 8.
That's with no wind.
8 degrees tonight.
Wait, like 8 at like game time type?
No,
like 7, 8?
Tonight. They're not playing
low.
Tonight.
Right, I understand that, but it's not going to be like at 3 in the morning.
No.
8 degrees. Okay. Like overnight temperatures.
And then tomorrow is supposed to be in the 30s. It's supposed to PM showers and rain, so we should be all right for the game.
Hey, I have a meteorological question here.
Because
yes. on my weather app here for Thursday, it says snow, but it also says 39. Can it snow if it's above 32 degrees?
No.
I didn't think so.
It can't?
No.
Okay. Because 32 is freezing.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I feel like it's been warmer than that around here, and you've seen snow at times, little flurries. But maybe
slushy and
maybe
sleet.
I'm wrong.
You can see sleet.
Hail?
Mixture of snow and rain, stuff like that.
This is where all the amateur meteorologists are going to text in. You idiots!
Well, that's why I'm asking, because I honestly don't know. Well, I know 32 is where water freezes, but are there some other extenuating circumstances, like when it's windy
snow.
Or something?
Yeah, maybe wind chill or something. I don't know. 710-710 for all of you junior weathermen out there.
But it's not supposed to be that till it's PM showers, okay. So we should be all right.
Yeah, but, I mean, back to Gonzalez, he was great. 6 1/3, gives up 6 hits, 2 strikeouts, no walks. Got up to, I think, 92 was the high in terms of his velocity. So he was throwing the ball well. He seemed to, for the most part, he made a couple of mistakes. But, again, he's your number 4 starter who you got nothing from last year.
Right. So nominally, the starters, you would say, are Paxton, Felix, Leak, Gonzalez, and then whoever, right?
Ramirez.
Right.
When he comes back.
Okay, right. Ramirez when he comes back. But is that the same order you would list these guys in if you're just talking about the confidence you have in them? Like, would you put Gonzalez ahead of Felix? Forget about Gonzalez. What about Leak? Because Leak is supposed to be the consistent guy.
In terms of knowing what you're going to get?
Right.
Yeah.
Felix could be up. He could be down. His best is probably better than Leak's best. But his worst is probably, it might be worse also.
I feel like they're more volatile. Felix is more, there's more questions attached to Felix in terms of what you're going to get versus Leak, who's not going to be as electric as Felix can be in dominating, but maybe doesn't have the lows as well. That he's just kind of going to be that steady Eddie guy right in the middle. He was exactly what you expected in his last start.
You just can't say yet. I mean, it'll depend on how it plays out.
That's not very interesting, Grant.
Sure it is. I mean, Leak may be, Gonzalez may be a lot more than a number 4 starter before all is said and done. Mm-hmm. He rolls out performances like yesterday with any consistency. That's
quality
not number
starts,
4.
Gross?
Yeah. Super quality. High quality.
Ultra
high quality.
Ultra high quality.
Ultra high quality.
Into the seventh inning quality starts.
That was a high def start. That was really good.
I mean,
my mind was blown when he went back out there for the seventh. And I know it was the right decision, but like,
sure, he only thrown 80 pitches.
Right, but just all this talk about how it's going to be 5 innings, it's going to be 6, and the 7-inning, 8-inning start, those days are over. I mean, what happens when your guy's just humming along?
As long as that pitch count is great, they're not going to pull him.
Right.
Yeah, you start getting that pitch count
that's
up there.
That's the deal. You know what they said? 100 pitches was the limit that they sort of had on him, and then gave up the big fly.
Even Paxton threw over 100 pitches. I mean, he started to pull it together after a really awful start to the game, but yeah, he went over 100 pitches. So
I saw somebody tweeting yesterday. It wasn't about the Mariners. I forget what pitcher it was, but somebody had struck out like 10 or 11 guys through 5 innings, but they had to take him out because of a pitch count.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough spot to be in as a manager. If you got a guy who's maybe it's taken him a few more pitches than usual to do it, but if he's got it working.
Early in the season, though.
Yeah.
I don't blame a manager for that.
The other thing, too, is strikeout numbers are not what they used to be. I mean, guys strike out all the time in baseball now. Mm-hmm. Striking out a lot of guys means you're throwing a lot of pitches. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're rolling.
It doesn't necessarily. He could have given up 4 runs,
right,
too. I'm not sure who it was. But if he's just taking a lot of pitches and he's preventing runs, I don't know. That could force a manager to make a decision that he might not want to make.
Good. But most guys are pretty married to their pitch counts.
Yeah.
They don't let guys go over a certain number for whatever reason.
The other part of yesterday, and there's just a lot of good, right? First of all, you had Gonzalez, as we just talked about. Eddie Diaz. How about him?
Oh, man.
How about three
batters dominant again? 3 up, 3 down again?
Yeah. One guy, he didn't strike out. So he struck out 2 of the 3.
Well, he's clearly...
So he's clearly falling
slipping
off the cliff. Yeah, but there was no drama to his appearance. There was no drama to it. He threw 13 pitches, struck out 2. So it's his third save of the season, and he looks dominating. He looks absolutely dominating. So you feel good about that. You feel good about D. Gordon getting a couple of stolen bases in this game, which is something everybody was counting on. He hadn't had one before this game. He gets 2 in this game. He goes 3 for 5. And
Seager got a couple of hits too, didn't he?
Yeah, you had Gordon go 3 for 5. You had Segura 3 for 4, had a nice bunt. I mean, he was producing up there at the plate. Cano with another hit, who's hitting a robust .500 right now. And Seager goes 2 for 4 in that game. So there are only 2 things I would point out as negatives in this game, and one of them involves Seager. And I tweeted it out. I'm just like, oh, Seager, why do you have such a problem with base running? I cannot for the life of me figure him out on the base paths. I don't know what has gone on. I don't remember him being this bad a couple of years ago. I feel like it's become a progression.
You're just talking about judgment out there.
Yeah, just what is he seeing? What are you doing? I don't get it.
Shouldn't whose job is that to coach that out of him?
Managers.
I think it's Service.
Is it Service, or is it one of the coaches who's in charge of that?
Well, I think it's got to be your base coaches once he's on first, and he's got to sit there and pound it into his head like a little kid. You know, hey, you don't have the green light here. I want you to take pick up the ball, rounding second. Pick up the ball. Where's it at?
Right.
You know, you got to take some of his aggressiveness away from him because it's working against him. And it worked against him yesterday where he falls down, gets tagged. He's just laying face down like, oh, boy. I'm just going, what are you doing, man? You saw it in spring training. You saw it last year. It feels like it hasn't always been the case with him. It's just gotten more pronounced, I guess.
You're obsessed with it, Bob.
Well, because it's becoming so obvious or more frequent.
No, but it's become an obsession with you.
Well, it's bothering me.
You've got to concede that. We need to work on you a little bit.
We need to work on him.
I'm not saying that he's not right. That's not what I'm saying. It's just an obsession with him. We've got to get him to let go.
I'm going to really be watching for it. Every time he's on base now, I'm going to be looking. All right,
yeah,
what's he doing?
And anticipating.
But he needs
How's he going to screw up now?
Cross, he needs an obsession each year. He had it with Aoki a couple years ago.
Oh.
He's like a dog with a bone. He needs to chew on. like one of those what do you call them? Kongs?
Yeah,
Kong toy.
Right, you put peanut butter in to distract the
right,
dog.
Right.
He's like, all right, he'll leave us alone for a few minutes while he's worrying about Seager.
Well, the difference between him and Aoki is I like Seager, and I think he's a valuable piece to this team, whereas Aoki, I didn't see the value. He just drove me nuts. His presence was making me crazy. Just watching him try to judge a fly ball was maddening. But Seager, I mean, he gets a couple of hits. He feels like he's starting to kind of turn a corner there offensively. Maybe he's going to have a better April than he's had in years past.
I think he already has had a better April than he's had in years past.
Well, he's up to 214 right now.
Yeah, that's
good.
That's good for him.
Four games in. Hopefully it continues. I love that. I think he plays a really good defensive third base. I just don't understand what's happened to him on the base paths because it's become more frequent. And I think it stood out even more because in spring when they had DePoto in the booth and they were talking about that very subject, he just had a knuckleheaded play on the base pass with a ball that was hit right in front of him. And everybody in the booth was kind of like, yeah, so like that? That's what you're talking about?
How would you ask that?
I think it's the price you pay for Kyle Seager.
But he hasn't always been that guy, has he?
Maybe he has.
Maybe it was we were just so distracted by the Mariners' futility in 2012 and 2013 that just didn't stick out enough.
It just fit in.
And now that it appears that they actually have a pretty good lineup and they've had a couple of contending teams over the past few years, maybe that does just stick out about him. Because otherwise, his game is pretty good.
Yeah.
We were talking about his defense this morning. It's been up. It's been down.
Yeah, he had a great play yesterday.
He makes the great plays. There's no doubt about that.
His errors are weird because they're usually what you perceive to be the routine play that he boots, and he'll make this dynamic diving stop or great throw from his knees at third. I mean, I don't have any issues with him defensively, even when he commits errors. I'm like, okay, you take the good with the bad, but the base running... Maybe he's always been this guy and I just never noticed. I have no idea. It feels fairly new. People can text in and tell me I'm wrong and he's always been a terrible base runner.
You know what, though? It would only take a few occurrences of this to stick in your head. If it were like, you know, even one, two, three times,
right,
that would be enough to stick out. It's not like he's doing it every time he's running the bases.
It's going to drive you insane, Bob.
Yeah.
It's going to drive you nuts.
The one thing you're right about is I will definitely be watching. Yes, the second he's on base, first, second, whatever, I'm going to be watching to see what he does.
Are you going
to
ask him
that? Instead of just watching the game.
Are you going to ask him that in the clubhouse this year? You're going to be like, dude, what is up with the
What's your problem, dude?
Can't you run better? Please?
Can't you pick up the ball? Even I could do that.
What are you seeing out there? What are you seeing that nobody else is? I don't know. It's just a weird part of his game. But listen, he had two hits. You need that from him, especially with Cruz out. And Zunino out at this point. You need the other guys to pick up the slack. And you saw this team win without the home run, right?
Yeah.
You saw home runs in their wins here at Safeco, but they go out and they show you they can manufacture runs. Again, moving base runners along, stealing bases, just coming up with the hits that they need. I mean, that to me was an impressive win against, as you pointed out, a very good lineup, a very good pitcher. It was just
if they want to score in the first inning like that, that would be okay.
A little four spot in every first inning?
That'd be nice.
What do you think about the big bullpen acquisition, Juan Nicasio, so far?
Not impressed yet.
It's been a rough start.
Just a couple outings.
A little bumpy.
Three innings, five hits, three runs.
He's got gas.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not worried about him.
Not going to sit here and say he isn't going to settle down, but he's been the one little bump in the road in each game he's appeared in.
Yep.
Everybody's saying the guy you were talking about was Cole Hamels.
Okay. Who was struck out 10 or 11 guys.
This texter 503 says Cole Hamels had 11 strikeouts through five.
Okay. And they had to pull him.
Has he thrown like 100 pitches already or something like that?
That many strikeouts. Yeah, that's a lot of pitches.
Isn't he an innings guy? I don't know that.
There's,
maybe...
there's no such thing anymore.
Yeah, but if you were in the day when, like, say in 2006 or 7, that's all of a sudden going to change?
Well, if he was an innings guy then, it's 11 years later.
Let's see. Pitched 200 innings in 2016, 148 last year because he missed 7 starts. Oh, yeah, this is an innings guy. You don't need to be pulling him in the 5th inning. He's over 200 innings every year.
By the way, everybody checking in on the snow. The snow question.
What are they saying?
You guys are baffling morons.
Why?
Temp where the rain converts to snow is different than on-ground temperature. Let's see. Real meteorologist here. Snow versus rain is determined by freezing level in atmosphere, not the ground.
Oh, because it's colder up there.
another one. Snow forms at 39 degrees or so. If it's 32 or below in the stratosphere, it doesn't form.
Okay.
It can snow when it's over 32 degrees because it's below 32 degrees. Okay, so they're all basically saying the same thing. I just like the guy that said, you're baffling morons.
Yeah, but even on a hot summer day, it's still pretty cold way up there.
It's below zero.
Yeah, so, I mean, that doesn't really help me.
But it basically can snow, but it doesn't stick once it hits ground temperature or it's warmer.
All right.
Is what they're saying, just to summarize.
Here's hoping it doesn't snow tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like it'll stick. Maybe it will. It's going to be... would you say the high was going to be?
Well, it said 39, I believe.
All right.
It's colder up there. Of course it is.
And then people are sort of supporting me on Seager saying, yeah, I don't remember it being this bad before, that this is a fairly new occurrence with him on the baseball.
Right, but how many occurrences have there been, I guess?
It felt like last year there were a
bunch. 2 years, a bunch, like over 10?
It felt like last year he just had it. I mean, a bunch is relative. I'm not saying it was.
You don't need that many to be deemed a bad base runner.
Yeah, if you're making just ill-conceived outs on the base paths, it sticks out, right? If you're killing a rally, you're killing an inning or something because you made a poor decision on the base paths, you're going to remember it, especially if you lose, right? You're going to go, well, if Seager wasn't running with his head up his backside, maybe they would have had a chance to extend that inning and keep things going, you know? So those are going to stand out.
I don't feel like there's been a whole lot of that, to tell you the truth.
There's got to be a sabermetric stat for it, right? We were looking at sabermetrics today, and there are stats I'd never even heard of in there.
Bob and I were doing like trigonometry, trying to figure out Kyle Seager's defensive sabermetric.
You guys would
stats.
Be the worst guys I could think of if you threw me in there too. We'd be the worst guys
beyond UZR, way beyond anything you'd heard of. There were defensive metrics, and I'm going, well, what the hell does that mean?
We're the wrong guys to be doing that.
And here's a stat: when you combine these other four you've never heard of, you put those together, it comes up with this number.
In the end, I think we understood it. We just couldn't explain it to each other. Like, I see that it's trending up, it's trending down. Okay, that's good, that's bad, but I can't really explain it to you.
That's funny.
And everybody is talking about... that Seager's always been a bad base runner. Okay. Right. I don't remember him being that bad, but all right, maybe you're right. We were just, everything was being overshadowed by everything else, and we didn't pay attention to that aspect, but all right. Meanwhile, so we'll get into more baseball. We'll talk about that again. Mike Blowers will join us at 2 o'clock. We'll see if he remembers Seager having problems before. He catalogs all that stuff. Meanwhile, is it good for the Seahawks that the Rams are going to be great in 2018? Talk about that next with Bob Gross and Tom.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, the question is, what fun is golf if you can't drink beer and yell at the players? Talk about that.
Even when you're playing.
We'll talk about that coming up in 15 minutes. And a reminder, top of the hour, Armin Katayan, who's the author of a new book on Tiger Woods, will join us at 1 o'clock, Mike Blowers at 2 o'clock, but the Rams making yet another move. Have they not been the most active team in the offseason?
They've been the most active team in the offseason.
In terms of big names, anyway. Maybe other teams have made more transactions.
They've added 4 Pro Bowlers.
Man, they have brought in Brandon Cooks. So they have a wide receiving threat that they did not really have the way they wanted last year with Sammy Watkins. He was not a guy who drew double teams. They've got Robert Woods, and Tavon Austin's been a whole lot of nothing. Mm. Cannot for the life of me figure out the logic behind his contract extension he received. But they got a weapon from the Patriots. So they just continued.
65 catches, 1,000 yards, 7 TDs last year, I believe.
Yeah, and they talked about, he didn't really fit in with New England the way they had hoped.
Okay.
I guess
you don't like those guys who get 1,000 yards.
But I'm sure you've read it, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, they felt like he was a valuable piece. Now, I know he's got a lot of money coming, and they're not a team that pays anybody a whole bunch of money outside of Brady.
Especially not a wide receiver.
Yeah. They trade him. They get a first-round pick. They exchange a couple low-round picks. But ultimately, he's a guy that, you feel like there's a lot of weapons on that team on both sides of the ball.
They're following the Seahawk blueprint here. While you have the cheap quarterback, while you don't have to pay him anything,
back. Load up.
Right, exactly. I don't remember the Seahawks acquiring players at this rate, though.
They didn't.
Pro Bowl caliber players.
They didn't.
We've talked about Bennett and Averill, of course, but
who were two guys who didn't get what either thought they would get at the time. So they were thought to be more expensive players when they came out.
They also went out and got Percy Harvin during that time too. So
and they were re-signing their own guys.
Correct.
Ultimately,
they started re-signing their own guys, yeah.
Right, not in the very beginning.
That's what the Rams will ultimately, I mean, that's Piper's coming to pay next year. I mean, Aaron Donald is.
Piper's doing what?
You know what I meant.
You said it right. He's coming, you're going to have to pay
him. You're going to have to pay the Piper next year for Aaron Donald, one way or the other. And now Cooks is in the same scenario. He's a, he'd be off his rookie contract next year or whatever contract. He'd be a free agent next year as well. And you're gonna. I think I know they're playing with Donald. I think they're just gonna franchise tag him.
Yeah, probably.
For 3 years.
Do you guys think it's a good thing that this is happening this year in a year where the Seahawks are probably gonna have an off year anyway? I know you think they are. Do you think that
they're gonna have an off year?
Not 8-8, 9-7.
I don't think this is ever a good thing for another team in the division.
But this may not last though. They're not gonna be able to hold on to all these guys.
So you mean so viewing it as just a 1 year deal?
One maybe two. Look, I don't think they're gonna go from where they are now to. Right down the pipes. Right. It could be the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, they say it was in one of the stories I read that maybe you gave me, but I think 3 years left. Is that right? Would that sound right?
We're just talking about
Goff.
Until they have to pay him.
Yeah.
And 2 years left with Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
Donald next year. Yeah, they've still got a little bit of.
So they got a
window.
They got a small window in terms of if they want. And listen, some of these guys are 1 year deals, and Ndamukong Suh is a 1 year deal. Brandon Cooks is a guy that they're going to be able to get out of. And I think the same is true for Tlaib, maybe.
One-year deals?
I think. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong on that. But you're not making long-term commitments to these new guys.
That's what I mean. So if you really believe that that's what's going to make them a championship-caliber team, how long is that actually going to last? They have the core of Donald and Gurley and Goff. We know that. But
they'll be if let's just assume that these guys are all for 1 year. They can add other guys then the following year. I mean, what that means is they got a ton of guys coming off their salary cap next year.
Yeah.
It's a pretty effective way of doing it as far as I'm concerned.
If you can get if they all gel, if every one of those guys works in those in that system, sure.
Well, I think you're feeling pretty comfortable that at least you're giving it a shot with Pro Bowl caliber guys. I mean, look, I heard the guys yesterday talking about it after the Mariner game, and let's face it, if this was the Seahawks doing this, we'd be doing cartwheels.
Yeah.
There'd be no wondering if these guys are going to work out.
I would be, but I'd be wrong. Of course, I'd be skeptical as ever, but I'd be wrong.
That's going to be the new move for this show. Anything you say, we go opposite.
You kind of have to.
Tom's picking them to win. That means they're losing tonight.
Sue's a bum.
But
those guys made a good point yesterday is that, yeah. I mean,
of course we would.
If the Seahawks doing it, you'd be jumping for joy. So.
Well, at minimum, you're saying this team's going for it. Now, whether it works out or not, you're going to find out. That still has to pan out. But you love that they are all in. They're putting their money where their mouth is.
That's the message that it's sent to the team. That's message sent to other players, too. I mean,
we're not resting on an 11-win, could have been 12-win season if we didn't rest everybody in the final game.
They had a couple of guys. Yeah, right. They had a couple of guys tweet out that, management going for it and that sort of thing. You know, that these are the sort of moves that make an entire organization feel good.
I'm just glad they didn't do this in 2012 and 2013 when there were other good teams in this division to contend with is all.
Well, they didn't have the pieces.
I know. I'm saying I'm glad it didn't happen that way. If the Seahawks are going to have a down year, you might as well let the Rams get this out of the way now.
Just get it over with.
Right. And I'm not saying that if Goff turns out to be great and Gurley stays, then
they'll
be good
the
for a few years. Right.
They've got the expectations are on them.
They've
now.
Got a window now that the Seahawks had. The Seahawks have got to rebuild their window. The Rams now have that window.
Right. But the Seahawks had it, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I mean, they had that for 6 years. I don't know that the Rams will necessarily have that unless they continue to draft well and do what the Seahawks haven't.
Well, the Seahawks didn't draft well, and they kept it going for, like you just pointed out, 5 years.
The Seahawks had more pieces, more homegrown pieces overall than the Rams did, though. Just more players on defense, for one thing.
Well, I don't know the Rams, because that was, last year was their first year. I don't know how much of their homegrown guys are going to be a part of it. I mean, I guess they got rid of some.
They've got rid of Quinn.
Yeah, they got rid of Quinn, but you've got Donald, you got Brockers, you've got guys.
I mean, was Quinn like getting rid of Red Bryant?
I think he was.
I mean, you know what I mean, though. I mean, it's you always go through guys. We'll see. We can all agree that they're poised to be good, and perhaps for a while.
But all the pressure's on them. We've seen other teams that have been crowned before the season even starts.
Go ahead and crown them.
You want to crown them? Go ahead, crown them. Let's give you your pitching matchup brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. Today's pitching matchup is
Felix versus Johnny Cueto.
It's a good pitching matchup. I'm looking forward to this one.
Excellent pitching matchup.
Yeah, so that is your pitching matchup brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. All right, the question remains, what fun is golf if you can't drink beer and yell at players? Wait a minute, what? Coming up with Bob Gross and Tom.
It's Bob Gross and Tom. Hold up.
Hey, wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute.
It is Wait a Minute What here with Bob Gross and Tom. Coming up at the top of the hour, Armin Katayan, author of the new book on Tiger Woods, will join us. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, by the way, you should be following Michael Bradley on Twitter. If you're not, he's making me laugh with his. I mean,
because the Phillies games are all on Facebook.
Well, he's just a handful of games into the season.
It's his Kapler hate.
Gabe Kapler is his target. And it says he started with a tweet: broadcast a Phillies game exclusively on Facebook means only a handful of people will be watching if Gabe Kapler fouls things up again. Good news. And then he followed that with just in from Citi Field. Phillies pitcher Aaron Nola is on a strict 8-pitch limit today. Gabe Kapler will remove him while Nola's in the middle of a windup if necessary. So he is on him. He's got a target, and
he's not letting go.
Yeah, Bradley's not the type to back off that.
So it's like his version of Seager's base running.
That's right.
He's just not going to get off.
Except a lot more venom and viciousness.
Yeah, he's much angrier about it. Mine's more just, I'm asking the question, why? Yeah. What? What are you saying? Anyway, so yeah, if you don't follow, you can follow him on Twitter, @DailyOmbre. @DailyOmbre is where you find him. You got LeBron and Nick Saban in a bit of a spat. Talking about some programs they're both involved with that seem to resemble each other. And LeBron says, I got there first. What do you think you're doing, coach?
I can't tell you how stupid this is.
I don't know what this is about.
So,
do tell.
Saban is involved in some program. Let's see. It started last week when Alabama received a trailer on Twitter for a show called Shop Talk, showing Saban and Atlanta Falcons receiver Julio Jones, who played ball for the Crimson Tide coach, in a barbershop setting.
Okay.
And I guess Uninterrupted, which is what the company that's the media platform that James is attached to, sent a letter to Alabama citing concerns over copyright infringement, trademark rights, and intellectual property. Those concerns stem from a show the platform aired last year called The Shop, where James and Golden State forward Draymond Green and others talk in a barbershop. Second episode followed in March, in which James spoke about his infrequent driving habits and blah, 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 and filming for the third has been completed. So they're saying, hey, we were doing this whole thing before, and now you're doing it. Talking.
Hardly intellectual property.
The fact that they use the word shop and it takes place in a barbershop, he thinks he can sue over that?
Crazy.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're going to sue the makers for Me, Myself, and Irene for the scene that they had in the barbershop with Jim Carrey as the cop talking to the guys?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is that their intellectual property as well? Come on.
What an utter waste of time.
I agree.
Saban's comment, I think LeBron James is a great player. There's been at least 20 barbershop type things I've seen. I didn't even know he had one. I'm sorry anybody could be offended by something we were just trying to have fun with. I enjoyed it, and we're going to continue to do it. James responded to Saban saying, I mean, I think you guys know Nick Saban more than me from a media perspective. You guys know Nick Saban more than I do, so that's exactly what I would think he would say. I built Uninterrupted for a reason, and for us athletes to have a platform to be able to speak about whatever we want to talk about, I respect him as a coach, but I'll be damned if I allow someone to use our platform or try to do the same thing we're doing and just think it's okay.
That's like us coming up with a Seahawk podcast, and then somebody else wants to do the same thing and say, we own the rights to them.
This is going
nowhere. Give me a break.
This is going nowhere.
Yeah, well.
Can we talk about Augusta and Bud Light?
Dilly, dilly.
Augusta and Bud Light and Dilly Dilly. Oh, one of the things that get you thrown out if you say it at Augusta?
Yep. Augusta National will remove you immediately if you scream Dilly Dilly during the Masters. Which I got to tell you, I'm in favor of.
Because well, it's I am lame. Now.
Because it's lame.
No, no, I'm not in favor. I'm in favor of someone yelling it out because this Augusta policy is lame.
Yeah. Yeah. I think,
I agree with both of you.
I just think it's so lame. I don't have a problem with them yelling things, but come on, man. The get in the hole. Lame.
The only reason why they're doing it is because they don't have Bud Light as a beer sponsor.
Would anybody have actually yelled that out, though, had they not put this on their list of things you can't say? Like, was there a big movement of people who were going to show up and say that?
I've been watching golf the last couple of weeks, so have you, Bob. Yeah. You heard anyone yelling it out?
No, I've heard Baba Booey.
Yeah.
I've heard Hit Him with the Hind, which is all Howard Stern references.
People are still saying Baba Booey?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it's not something that's even going on.
I haven't heard it, but Bud Light, this is great for them because it's publicity they're not paying for, and they weighed in on it. They tweeted out a tweet that says, "Our King weighs in on the Dilly Dilly ban." So they have like this scroll with the burnt edges.
Smart.
Here. See this?
Yeah.
Hear ye, your king hath received word that the guards of the green jacket plan to escort any patron who dare utter Dilly Dilly off yon premises. So basically they go through it and they said, so I have instructed my royal tailors to make 1,000 Dilly Dilly shirts that shall be delivered to Georgia in time for the festivities. For if you cannot say Dilly Dilly, thou can still wear Dilly Dilly.
I love it.
So you're going to see people out there in those shirts.
What if Tiger Woods yells it?
Then I think they'll go, okay.
They'll say, okay. All right. They want to squirt him out of there.
They'll say, that was hilarious. Do it again.
Yeah, I don't know why we're against that.
This is great promo for Bud Light.
Sure it is.
This is fantastic.
The way they're handling it is.
Yeah. They're having fun with it.
Who has a worse reputation, the NCAA or Augusta?
NCAA.
Augusta's pretty bad, too, though.
But yeah. Neither one is well regarded.
But
anyway.
But Augusta comes into play once a year, whereas the
NCAA that's true.
NCAA
that's
is, true. Is an all
yeah,
year.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's true.
Other bit of news: the Ravens announced they've signed RG3 to a 1-year deal.
How about that?
I hadn't heard about him being worked out. Anybody talking to him? I had not heard.
I guess they worked him out last year, and they worked him out again this year, and flim flam alakazam.
Had you heard a whisper about him?
No. Not until I read this story that said that they had actually worked him out last year.
Yeah. Who would you rather have, him or Geno Smith?
RG3.
Geno Smith.
I'd rather have RG3. At least he's succeeded at this level, albeit
yeah,
very
brief. He played in 3 years.
Yeah. I'm not a Geno Smith fan at all. I don't think he's a good quarterback. I was happy to see he signed elsewhere.
I feel like...
Where'd he sign?
Signed with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then one more. This is the timing of this is just perfect. Yeah. Youth Baseball League raffling off AR-15 and other guns for fundraiser.
Ugh.
So in Ohio, this is happening in your former state there, Graz. In Ohio, Youth Baseball League is raffling off an AR-15 and other guns for a fundraiser to reduce registration fees. The East Canton Youth Baseball Association will raffle off a bolt-action hunting rifle, a 12-gauge shotgun, and a handgun during the league's Youth Picture Day on April 29th. It's the fifth year the league's has held a gun raffle, and then they go on to explain the AR-15, a civilian version of a U.S. military rifle, has drawn national attention, blah, 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 all that. Apparently, youth organizations across the country are holding raffles for the military rifle, including ones in Kansas, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, and California.
It's ridiculously tone deaf.
In a plan to have third graders sell raffle tickets for the weapon in Missouri to benefit their baseball team has received heavy backlash, but the organizer responded saying, "They're not forcing any boys to sell raffle tickets."
So, I don't know what to say, man.
Tone deaf.
Yeah.
Tone deaf.
I guess that's it.
Yeah. All right, there you go. So we'll talk more about what's going on with the Mariners, Seahawks, all that. But what's so different with Tiger Woods this time around? We're going to talk with Armin Katayan of 60 Minutes about a new book he wrote about Tiger. He joins us next with Bob Gross and Tom.